And I am continuing our series on ripe. Everybody say ripe. So I want you, I need you to understand something. I'll probably reiterate this on Sunday. But ripe, I sense ripe is about a lot of things. But if you look at ripe meaning, let's go over it. What does R stand for?
Read.
Read. What does I stand for?
Read.
What does P stand for?
Read.
And what does E stand for?
Read.
So these words are all what? Yeah, action words. What's an action word?
Verb.
These are all verbs. To read is to do something. To invite is to do something. To pray is to do something. Even to expect is to do something. These are all verbs. And it's not accidental that they're all verbs. See, I believe as God gave me ripe, that he knew that hope was at a certain place. But in order to move us to where we needed it to be, that he needed for us to really, in a practical way, start to implement the principles, start to become a church of doers and not hearers only. And this is, I mean, tonight you're going to hear it again. You know what? These messages are messages of get up and do something. And so you'll hear it again, but it's just this thought. And as how many were here Sunday? Raise your hand high if you were here Sunday. Raise your hand high if you were here Sunday, second service. Now, for those, I don't mean, if you were here for the first service, I don't mean to make you feel bad. But this, because God moved in a mighty way in the first service. But the second service is different than the first service because we have different people. And so the just like how many know with your kids, you have, like I have three kids, and they were all raised by me and my wife, but they are all so much different. How many with kids understand that? You mean it's like, man, I don't understand. How come my kids are so different? Because God made them different. And so as we have different people coming into the church to hear the services, the first service is way different because we have different people. And so it's so much different. So the second service, Pastor George was here, and he gave a prophetic word, and he said a lot of wonderful things. But one of the things that he said, and the reason I say this is because with the ripe series, here's what I've said. I've said God is speaking to us, and he's saying, get on the train, because the train is moving.
Amen.
And even been so forceful to say, you know what, get on the train, because you don't want to be left at the station. Been so honest with you to say, the train is leaving. It's going. It's going with you, or it's going without you. Amen. And we get in this mindset of we get lulled to sleep because God is long-suffering. He's patient. And so we think, you know what? He's always going to, you know, I can always act like this. But I'm telling you, you can't always act like this. God is, you know what the Bible says? God's coming back. And you know what he's looking for? He's looking for faith. That's what the Bible says. Well, faith without works is dead. You know what? I'll tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for people who are reading their Bible. Why? Because that shows an intentionality of relationship with him. He's looking for people who invite. Why? Because that shows an intentionality of love for other people. He's looking for people who pray. Again, that intentionality about relationship with God. And he's looking for people who expect. The Bible says you not only need to believe that God is, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It, you know what? That expect has to do with you understanding his character. He is a good God, and you should expect. He cannot lie. Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. Amen? And I used to think that scripture was always, I used to always think it in the negative. You know what I mean? But that scripture isn't just in the negative. It's in the positive. If you sow the seeds of righteousness, you're going to reap righteousness. Does this make sense? So I'm speaking to you, and out of all those letters, what they stand for, I believe that I is probably, if we took a survey and we said, you know what, how many of you reading your Bible every day? How many praying every day? How many expecting for miracles? I think many of us would, but if I said, how many of you are actively inviting? I had a really, 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 really busy week last week. And on Saturday, I said to myself, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'll make sure I get down to the church early because I'm not going to have the afternoon to be able to, you know what, go across the street and do my cards. So I got a plan. Why? Because my commitment to you is that every week you could come up to me Sunday and say, Pastor, did you invite at least five people with cards, put it in their hand, look them in their eye? And this week, and I don't want to ever tell you no, I didn't. And I won't tell you this week I didn't, because I did. And every week I passed out way more than five cards. Just so you know, this week I'm doing a training at 2 o'clock. If you want to be here, if you want to go across the street, pass out cards with me, I'm going to be here. And whether one of you show up, or two of you show up, or 38 of you show up, or 138 of you show up, I'm going to be here, and we're going to have a short training, and I'm going to tell you, you know what, I'm going to give you just some real practical advice, and then we're going to go across the street, and we're going to pass out a bunch of cards. And if you want to go to Tommy's, you can go to Tommy's, but you know what, you got to pass out cards at Tommy's, amen? Amen? If you want to eat a burger later, amen? And listen, and I hope we have a ton of people show up. I hope all of you show up. That's what I hope. I can hope whatever I want to hope. That's what I hope. Not most of you. I hope all of you show up. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Well, you can think whatever you want to think, and I'm going to think whatever I want to think. Amen. See, I believe in you. I believe Christians are tired of being on the sideline and not getting in the game. That's what I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit, just like he's stirring me up, is stirring you up. Amen. That's what I believe. You know what? I believe that Christians, just like Christians are getting tired of spending every single dollar on themselves. What an awful indictment. That all the money we make is spent on ourselves. That's, man. What would you do to your kid if you went to McDonald's? You know what? You bought him, you know what, a large fry, a Coke, and a cheeseburger. You know, you're on a diet, so you don't eat nothing. You know, you have one of those funky salads, you know what I mean? You know what? And at some point in time, you know what, you see those fries and you reach over and you don't take a handful, you take one of his fries. What if your 8-year-old just, you know what, just slapped on him and do that so hard? I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I'm about to get in trouble here. I mean, dude, sorry. But just slapped you. And you know what, when you know what, said, don't you eat none of my fries. You bought those fries for that 8-year-old. You about to lose your fries and your and your burger too. See, do you feel the self-righteousness of I mean, the righteous indignation to go, huh? You can't do that. That 8-year-old can't do that. Amen. How many know I'm setting you up? See, we can't do that to God. Who do you think gave you your breath that you could breathe? Your muscles that you could move, be able to walk, get in a car, and being able to drive to work and being able to get, who do you think empowered you to be able to do all that? And you slapping him on the hand, you know what, when he is asking for a portion of that. Come on. But see, I believe people are getting tired of that kind of Christianity. Because that's not even Christianity. That's not even Christianity. You know what? Not praying, that's not Christianity. Not reading, that's not. Not expected. That's not. This is. See, Paul says, you need to be watchful because there's a perversion of the gospel. And a perversion of the gospel, in one of the perversions of the gospel is in where we think that everything is designed around us. And I understand how we can think that. Listen to me very carefully, because I don't want anybody misunderstanding me. You know, to some extent, everything was designed for you. And so I get how we think that. You know what? These birds, you know what, in the trees, the oxygen, you know what, the mountains, all that. The Bible says all that was created for the creation, for us, for man. I don't care what the universities are saying. Man is not the problem. Amen? Here's what I'm saying is that that was all designed for us. And that's absolutely true. And Christ died for you. So that's all about, it's all about you. I thought that I saw a shirt that said it's not all about us. Well, the truth is, it's all about you. And then once you come in the family of God, then you're on the team that helps share it with somebody else. Does that make sense? Because now it's all about them. Is a light bulb going on? And that doesn't mean that it's still not about you. Amen? Because it still is about you. But it's not all about you. When you come in the family of God, now there's this freely you have received. Now there needs to be this freely give. Hello? That is what RIPE is about. And so I will continue to teach RIPE. I don't want anybody to get tired. He's teaching RIPE again. Pastor, when are we going to stop? We're going to stop when the Holy Spirit says stop. And I believe that I'm not saying we will, don't quote me, don't run off and say, oh, Pastor's going to teach that whole thing for the whole year. We could be in RIPE this whole year. But what I want to tell you is this is primarily about us applying what we're learning, okay? So I don't know. How many of you have cards in your car, purse? You know what? What do they call the guy's purse? What do they call that? You don't call that a purse. What? Satchel. Whatever. How many of you have How many of you, if you know what, you have a cards that are accessible, you know where they are. I'm not saying, yeah, I got them right in the back of the seat of the church. No, that's not. I'm talking about you have them at home, you have them in your car, your truck, somewhere where you can use them. How many of you, raise your hand real high, real high, real high, real high, real high. Okay. Now, if your hand, now on the count of three, oh, never seen no other church do this. Well, welcome to a church where I think people ought to be held accountable. Amen. So you get your hand up if that's you. On the count of three, if you have your hand up, lower it. If you have your hand down, higher it. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go, switch. Okay, keep your hands up. Tonight, here's your assignment. Keep your hands up. Oh, I don't like my hand up. Well, then, you know, feel the uncomfortable. Amen. Here's your assignment. If your hand's up, get some cards. We're going to have way more than, because there's not enough in here. Guys, make sure we get a lot of cards in the back. You grab 5, 10 cards and put them in your car. And if those 10 cards are still there at Christmas, you're in trouble, Jackson. Amen? Amen? I'm serious. That if your hand was up, you know what? You get cards, pass out cards. Amen. All of these are important. This one is probably the one area that we are underperforming more than any other. I'm not saying that some of you need to, how many read your Bible? Here, let's see. Oh, this is just a fun time today, isn't it? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you came today. How many of you read, oh, I won't even tell you where it is. Here, let's just say it together. Put your hands down. You know what? We are, this is a test, okay? You judge, you grade your own paper. I'm going to ask what book we're reading. Don't answer now. And together, you tell me what book we're reading. What book are we reading?
Romans.
Okay. Some of you call it ends. Listen, and if you didn't know we're in Romans, you know what? We're in Romans. Now you know, amen? Listen, that's what God is saying. Get on board, amen? The train hasn't left the station yet. Get on board. But you always thinking, listen to me, you always thinking that you can always, there's always time, there's always time, there's always time. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You don't believe me? Just ask the people in Noah's day. Yeah. Let me tell you the truth. The Lord is coming back. That angel came and said, what you all doing sitting here? Don't you got work to do? He's coming back just like he left. And he's going to come back. And when we get to heaven, it's too late to evangelize. Now is the time that we need to be serious. God said, you know what? There's only so much day to work. The night is coming. And when night comes, you ain't going to be able to work. See, we have an opportunity right now. We have great opportunity. Jesus said the harvest is the fields are white. They're all ready to harvest. Oh, my goodness. So many people need Jesus. So many people need Jesus. I mean, the fields are ripe. You got, do you have a chair empty next to you? Okay, then we got, they're out there, and we got room in here. Amen? Perfect opportunity, right? Right? Amen. Oh, so how many of you, today's reading was Romans what?
Seven.
Somebody said 8, that's okay if you're ahead. If you said 6, well, catch up. Amen. If you said Acts, sure, you're behind. Okay. But you know what, now you know, and it's not too late. You can read Acts chapter 7 today. We still have time, amen. Acts, I'm just joking. I'm just testing you. No, I know we're in Romans. Well, you know what? We still have time. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I want to talk to you about invite. Everybody say invite. Guys in the back in the sound, the video that we played for Sunday on Steve, is it ready to go? Okay, yeah, good, because we're going to play that. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely good. Give. Everybody say, freely we receive. How many of you you received Christ and cost you a penny? Amen? Amen. But it was the best gift you ever been given. Amen. Okay. Freely you have received, freely give. That's that what I talked about. It's not all about you, but it is all about you in that everything was done for you. Now that you have it, now make it about somebody else. Make it about somebody else. Did I say I was doing a training Saturday at 2 o'clock? Okay. So, the sermon title is, write this down, it's up to us. It's up to us. Now, before you religious people shout me down, no, we need it. We can't do it without God. Yes, amen, hallelujah. Thank you for pointing that out. Let me say, it's just, I know. I know we need God. I know. That is the obvious. But here's what I want to point out to you. Jesus came down, he trained, and then he left. And when he left, he didn't say, here's what Jesus didn't say. What are we going to do now? I'm leaving. I'm the man. I know how to do this. These bozos, they don't have a clue what to do. You know what I mean? They're going to mess it up, and we are in trouble now. You know, Jesus didn't say that. He said this, it's good that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about faith. Jesus has it, and he has faith in you that you can do this. And he's not here. So it is up to you. It is up to me. It is up to us. Theologically, that's absolutely true. Now, absolutely, you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, but it's still up to us. It's still up to us. Side note, but very important note. Coming up, you're going to read Romans chapter 9. And when you read Romans chapter 9, it's going to sound like God has become an eeny, meeny, miny, moe God. But God doesn't, talking about salvation, God doesn't pick one to heaven, one to go to heaven, one to go to hell. You know, 3 to go to heaven and 10 to go to hell. He doesn't do that. That is not in the Bible. Okay. So when you get to Romans chapter 9, I have a sheet, and I want you all to go get it tonight, explaining hermeneutically what's going on there. You cannot read. Listen, you need to read chapter 9 in correlation to everything that he just said before that and everything that he just said after that. There wasn't, when Paul pinned that, there wasn't a chapter 9 that was given later on so you and I could turn there altogether. You know, so we wouldn't get out our scrolls and go, oh, Pastor, where are you? I'm not sure, you know what I mean? You know, it takes us an hour to find the first verse, you know what I mean? No. It was that those chapters and verses were given so we could make reference quickly. But it was a letter. And it was a letter, and there's people that take chapter 9 out of context of the letter, and they're very confused. And you might read chapter 9 I hope you're going to read your Bible, but when you read chapter 9 this week, I don't want you to be confused. So I've given you a good understanding, and I'll just tell you what. When chapter 9, when he's talking about one is chosen and one is not, he's not talking about one is chosen for salvation, for heaven, and one is chosen for hell. He's not talking about that. He's talking about their service. You know what? We don't have 8 guitar players. We have a guitar player. We have a bass player. We have a keyboard player. We have vocalists. We have a drummer. Well, God can do that, can he not? Can you say amen? And it doesn't take a lot of intelligence. It just takes you. People take that chapter 9 out of all the other things in the Bible, but particularly chapters 1 through 8 and chapters 10 and 11. And you know what? And they come up with just a crazy doctrine. And there's a lot of people that believe that God, well, yeah, but Pastor, it says right in there that God predestines. Yeah, what does it say? To whom he foreknew, he predestines. God knows what you're going to choose. But just because God knows what you're going to choose doesn't mean he chooses it for you. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Read the order. To whom he foreknew, he predestines. Don't take it out of order. You've got to. So make sure you get that tonight. It's at the information table. You need to read it. You know, it's 2 pages. It's kind of theological, but you guys can handle it. Amen. And I'll just tell you what he's saying. He's saying he's talking about positioning. He's not talking about that God sends people to hell and picks people. That's ridiculous. Listen, when something in the Bible, when it says it like this, 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 and then it says it's something like something different, that it seems that they contradict each other, you know what? You need to study it more. Amen.
Amen.
Because let me tell you what, God is not confused. He's the same. Different people penned it, but it's the same author. And if you look at it, as soon as you read it, you're going to go, oh, you're going to hear something. Oh, I get, thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
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 And not only busy week last week, but busy week this week. And I was thinking, I don't have time for this today. And the Holy Spirit said, you better make time for this. Because you're telling those people to read the Bible every day, and they're going to read Romans chapter 9 this week. And you know what? And they got to have to be, you are in charge to prepare them for what they're going to read. So you better empower them. Because they're going to walk away scratching their head thinking, let me tell you what. Anyway, does that make sense? So get that. Make sure you get that. Okay. 3 reasons why. Oh, so here's what we need to do. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 10. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? It just means the kingdom is right here. All eyes up here. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. It's right in front of you.
Amen.
You know what? Romans, you read it just recently. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You know what? We're not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power unto salvation. Oh, that's a great verse. I don't know what it means, but it's a great verse. Here's what it means. The gospel, the good news, that Christ died on the cross, and when you accept that in your heart, that has the power to, yes, get you to heaven. But it doesn't say in Romans chapter 16 or chapter 1 verse 16, get you to heaven. It says it has the power to save you. Sozo. It means that you are born again, and with that born again, you get everything. You get delivered from any bondage, any sickness, any disease, any... You say, but Pastor, there's all kinds of Christians that are sick. You don't think it's God's will that every Christian be healed, do you? I don't know. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, you can point out somebody that you know, and we all can, that it seems like they didn't get healed. Or you know, no, they, Pastor, absolutely, they died. They definitely didn't get healed. And you didn't come to me with that experience to teach me something. Listen, don't let God be true and every man a liar. See? First of all, you have no idea what's really going on in their lives. Be honest. Pastor, are you saying they didn't have enough faith? I'm not saying that. I'm saying, who knows? Here's what I know. Here's what I know. That Jesus never ran into anyone and he said, you know what? It's not my Father's will that you be healed. Not one person. There wasn't one sickness and disease. He said, oh, I tell you what, this is too big for me. You know what? Well, that's incurable. Jesus didn't know an incurable disease. And when you see Jesus, you see the Father. God, you know what? If it's your will, you know what? Have my hand be whole. Jesus said, it is my will. Be whole. Is that not right? The gospel is the power to wholeness. Amen. So, four reasons why we need to go and share the gospel. Notice what it says. Verse 7. And as you go. Everybody say, and as you go. Everybody say, and as you go. Okay, what does that mean? As you go where? Yes. As you go to Rite Aid. Yeah. As you go to Dwiener Schnitzel. You know what I mean? As you go to the bank. As you go to school, as you go to work, as you go. See? How are they going to know without a preacher? Yeah, but Pastor, you're the preacher. No, I'm the trainer. The preacher is the trainer. The anointing on my life is to train you for the work of the ministry. See, somebody lied to you. Amen? That you could just come and hear and hear and hear and hear and hear and praise God you're saved. Praise God you're saved. But now that you're saved, now you this is the training center where I'm going to train you. And as you go, you know what, where? To the bank, to the grocery store, wherever you're going, to the restaurant. You know what, as you go, here's what I want you to preach the good news. I want you to tell people, hey, the kingdom, you know what, you can be fixed of all your junk. You know what's so beautiful? Everybody's jacked up. See, you go into Denny's. You go watch. You walk into Denny's, and I'm telling you, everybody's in Denny's is jacked up. Everybody. Everybody's in Denny's is jacked up. Okay? You got it, though. You know what I'm saying is true. It don't make, well, yeah, but what if I get a waiter who's not jacked up? Trust me, you ain't gonna get a waiter who's jacked up. They're gonna be jacked up. Is that not right? So as you go, you know what? What you are doing is you are telling people, hey, you can be fixed. I got the answer. See, you can't keep the answer to yourself. That's not Christianity. You can't keep it to yourself. I told you last week in the 70s, you know what? We were more into passing out tracts. People were more evangelistic. How many remember tracts? Okay? And at least they'd leave a tract for the waitress. You know what I mean? At least that. Amen? But now we don't even do the tracks no more. Amen. No, listen, you're the track. I'm gonna teach you. I said, Pastor, I don't know what to say. Say something. You know what? Say, wow, it's busy about here. Or, it's busy around here. Or, man, these pancakes are good. Or say something. Amen. Amen. You gotta say something. And then the next thing you know, they go, you know what? And they're gonna talk to you. And then you're gonna talk to them. And then you know what? You can say, you know, I know this might sound a little weird, but you know what? Is there something I can pray with you for?
Yeah, there it is.
Almost every person will not say, no, there's nothing. Almost every person will say, and you'll sit, watch, all eyes up here. You'll see a look on their face, and their initial look on their face will be like, huh, that is so weird. And then about a second and a half later, they'll think of, you know what, of their son that just got a DUI. Or, you know what, their daughter that just got pregnant. Or, you know what, or they're, you know what, out of work. Or their wife has just served them divorce papers or something. And they'll go, oh. So the first look is like, oh, you are so weird. That's so weird. And then about a second and a half later, they think, actually, there is something. And they might even say that. Actually, there is something. Okay. And then when that happens, here's what you don't do. Okay, I'm going to pray. You know what? They ran over your dog. And you know what? And it's been in the family for 5 years. Beautiful dog. You love that dog. You know what? And you know, and they could say that. You know what I mean? I mean, dogs are important to people. You know what I mean? And here's what I don't want you to say. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Dogs are dogs, man. They're man's best friend. Yeah, God loves dogs. I love dogs. This man loves his dog. Okay, well, here's what I'm saying. You could be passionate. I'm not saying don't be passionate. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, guys, be short. This guy's kind of probably freaking out already that you're praying for his dog in the restaurant. What's your dog's name?
Henry.
Father, I pray for Henry. I pray that, you know what, Henry, whatever happened, he's going to have a full recovery. Father, I thank you that you're just going to bless this man's family also today.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Short. Sweet. Now, listen. This isn't a fake out prayer. Yeah. R-I-P-E. I'm expecting. Now, see how ripe is so important? I'm praying. What am I expecting? Because when he gets home and his wife says, man, the vet was tripping out because in the morning, you know what, the dog wasn't even able to walk. By the afternoon, man, that they're just saying, you know, wow, look, Henry's home. Yeah. This guy's going to go, whoa. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
See, and what am I doing? I am preaching that the kingdom of God is right here for you. See, guys, listen to me. Every single one of you. See, can I tell you what? And I love the church. 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 I love singing. I love preaching. I love church. Church is awesome. But the church was designed to go reach the people and then to bring them to the training center. That a pastor could train them, they could go out and reach more people. Does this make sense? Somewhere we lost this. Somewhere in our, well, my first point is, why do we need to do this? Here's why. Because everyone needs a Savior. Everyone, for all have sinned and come short. You just read it, Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one, their righteousness is but filthy rags. I know this is not politically correct. Without Jesus, they're going to go into eternity without a Savior. They will go into eternity with their sins. You know what that means? You have sin, you will be separated from God forever. But that's Pastor, don't you know you're not supposed to preach that anymore? That's just the truth, amen? That's just the truth. So we need to go into these places and connect with people, amen? We're so focused on our chili burger that we don't even recognize there's people that are walking around us that need Jesus. Right. See, yeah, but I'm not an extrovert. I don't care that you're not an extrovert. It doesn't make any difference you're not an extrovert. You're the one who's God's chosen, amen, to go out there and go get these people in here. Does this make sense? That's why we're doing after school tutoring. That's why we're just this week going to be in North Park for a Christian club. And we're going to get in South Ranchito too. I told Joel I want to be in the closest elementary school, the closest junior high, and the closest high school. Amen. How many think that's a good idea? Okay. And then as we build up, guess what? Then I want to be in the closest elementary school and the second closest elementary school. And the closest junior high and the second closest junior high. Does this make sense? And the closest high school and the second closest high school. But we got to start somewhere. And in the meantime, because we're training people up to do all that, you know what? We're having after-school programs here. In the meantime, when you go to Denny's, I need you praying for people. I can't do it. I've been studying this out, and the research shows the study of the brain. And it shows that your words are so powerful that you actually build these bridges in your mind that control your actions. So many of you have said, well, I'm just not outgoing like that. Pastor, how do I change? Here's how you change. Next time you go into Denny's, listen to me, this is what the researchers are saying. I'm not even talking about the Christian, I'm talking about the secular researchers. Here's what they're saying. That is it your posture? You know what they notice? A posture will bring self-confidence. You know? You need some self-confidence? You know what? Just, you know what? Just start walking like you're all that in a bag of chips. Amen? That'll give me more self-confidence. And here's what they found. Does smiling make you happy? Or do happy people smile? You know what the researchers say? It don't make no difference. Because if you'll get up and just make a decision that you're going to smile, guess what? You're going to get happy. Right? If you just walk with that attitude, guess what? You're going to, and here's what the research is showing, that your mind is very, they used to think that at the junior high level, you had, however your mind was, it was staying. You know what? And so it was really important to teach and train kids. But as soon as they got in junior high, it was, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. It's done. And it is important to train kids because they are very susceptible to learning at young ages. But that research is absolutely not true, that your brain doesn't stop learning. But what happens is things that you know now, you just, how do I change it? Here's how you change it. Before you go into Denny's, you make a decision. You're going to pray for that waitress or that waiter. You just make a decision. You say, I'll tell you, I'm going to do it. There was a, I told Richard this story. When I worked in the grocery store, they used to have these shamrocks. And these shamrocks were for multiple sclerosis. And this one lady, she was a nice enough lady, and she used to always win, you know what? And she'd win a prize or something. Amen. Well, I got in a multi-level business, and they told me in my multi-level business that all you had to do is just, you know what, work with numbers. If you talk to enough people were going to say yes. And I thought, I don't know that's true, but I'm going to test it out. And here's what I made a commitment. Every person comes through my line, I'm going to give him an opportunity to donate a dollar. And I would take the little shamrock, and I'd say, "Would you real fast, I'd say, well, not, but not too fast, I'd say, would you like to donate to multiple sclerosis? I said, it's only a dollar. And I'd say it just like that. Did you hear how I said it? It's only a dollar. Say that with me. Now smile and say, and with a little, like, try it again. One, two, three. Oh, see, you're getting better. But here's the thing. I made a decision. I made a decision. No one, I don't care how tough, how snotty, how, you know, whiny they looked, they were going to get an invitation. It's only a dollar. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. Some of the snottiest people, okay, you know what I mean? Then some snotty people would just smile and go, okay, they'd get happy all of a sudden, you know what I mean? And if they said no, they said no. Guess who was the number one salesperson? Listen, she was working 40 hours. All she did was check groceries. You know, all she did was check groceries. I mostly was in the back filling the milk box. But when I came up, every person got asked. And guess what? You know what? Matter of fact, there was a real fancy restaurant. It was called, I'm not talking about what do they call that fancy hat? A derby. It was called the Derby. And you know what? And I got a gift certificate for the Derby. I took my wife out to the Derby. Now, listen. What am I teaching you? I'm teaching you, how did I do that? I just made a decision to do it. See, we don't lack ability. We lack motivation. Everybody needs a savior. Number two, because time is short. Pastor George said, Jesus is coming back soon. And then he said this. And he said this very sternly. He said, sooner than you think. And I'm telling you what, I totally believe. I don't know when sooner than you think is. Here's what I sense that is. Wherever you think, it's going to be sooner. And that kind of freaked me out in a good way. See, listen, we don't have time. The Bible says it's appointed for all men to die, and then they're going to be judged. What do the Catholics believe? There's something in between. There's no purgatory. There's no purgatory. There's no second chances. No, there's your second chance. You got a second chance and a third chance. How many got 48 billion chances? Okay? How many got more than one chance? I just recognize, of course there's second chances. You know what? You got a second chance. You got a third chance. You got a fourth chance. At some point in time, you finally recognized after all these chances. Amen? But once you die, that's it. Why do you need to be so proactive? Why? Because time is short. Number three, you know what? Why do we need to do this? Why? Because hell is real. Somebody say hell is real. I don't believe in hell. Can I tell you? I don't have a lot of time. Can I tell you who believes in hell? Jesus believes in hell. Talked about it all the time. Okay. Number four. You know why you need to do this? Because who better than you? Who better than you? There's nobody better than you. How many been redeemed? How many's life were jacked up with before Jesus? How many know what God saved you from? You recognize, oh my goodness. There's nobody better than you. You're the perfect one. Freely you have received. Freely, you are perfect. But because no one can testify like you can testify. Nobody's been changed like you. Nobody's been redeemed like you. You're the perfect person. You're the perfect person. Why? Because it's real. Are you kidding me? You wouldn't be here if it wasn't real. You'd be at home watching I Love Lucy like a bunch of other people. You know what? No, you love God and you love Jesus and he's real in your life and he's made a difference in your life. And you know what? You are the perfect person. Here's why. God selected you. God loves you. He's like, oh my goodness, they are perfect. They are just the one I want to speak for me. They can do this. They are passionate. I talk to you guys. I know. It's real inside of you. You don't have to have a four-point sermon. You are the sermon. You can be in there. You know what? And God speaks to you. You're the perfect person. God speaks to you. You could be in there, and the Holy Spirit will give you a word of knowledge. You know what? Something you're like, and it will tell you something about that waiter or waitress. You want me to say it to him? Yes. That's what the prophetic is for. Because they'll look and go, whoa! How did you know that? I was talking to a gentleman 3 weeks ago. And I was talking to him. Talking. Started going somewhere. And then boom. You know what? The prophetic came out. I said, you know what? God knew you were going to be here. And God knew you were running from him. I said, you know what? You know, first he told me, you know, oh yeah, I'm hardly ever around here. Told me where. Then I found out, you know what? He's actually around here a lot. Come on. I shook his hand. I said, you know what? I'm Pastor Drew. I want to be your pastor. Amen. All I'm saying is, you know what? God wants to use you. 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 And let me tell you why. You're the perfect people. Because you're around these people that need help. And you have the answer. And you're sincere. You love God. And you're just going to ask them, is there something I can pray with you for? And they're going to go, oh, this wacky lady. But then all of a sudden, they won't be able to walk away. Because you know why? Because they're so jacked up. And they'll go, actually, there is something. And you're going to pray for them. And it's going to make a difference. And you know what? And not right away. Ooh, you got to come to my church. But as the whole, you don't have to push it. But the Holy Spirit will open the door. And when he opens the door, you know what? Because listen, it's important. You know what? You need to get them into the family.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Don't, you don't have to force that.
That's right.
But a beautiful way to do it is when you have the cards, before you leave, say, hey, one more thing before you leave. You know what? My church is just down the street. I mean, you're right here at Denny's. My church is right down the street. Oh, man, you got to come. Like, my pastor's so crazy. See, some of you are like, yeah, he is. But listen. But you can say, but you know what? But you're going to love him. And you're going to love our church. And you're going to walk away. And as you walk away, the Holy Spirit is going to say, oh, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. You were so nervous, but you did it anyway. I'm so proud of you. And you're going to start, and you can start walking into Denny's. And it's not going to be about the pancakes anymore. Father, thank you that we are ripe. We are ready to be used of God. Help us, God. Father, I thank you this message would just convict us, Father. I thank you that you will help us to fight through. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a boldness. I thank you, Father, that you are making us bold to preach the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.